KSCU Santa Clara presents Robots Attack. Movies, TV, video games, comic books, tech stuff, news, music. If it is geek, it's on Robots Attack. Participate in the show by commenting on Facebook, tweeting them at Robots Attack Me, emailing the show robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Now, Robots Attack.
That's right, welcome to Robots Attack. I am Joe, and with me is
Caleb. Yes, I'm over here.
We got Jen.
Hello.
We got Super Jason.
Yep.
You know him, you love him. We are Robots Attack, the one and only geek-centric talk show on KSCU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, the underground sound. We've got a show for you tonight. For the core, in fact, it's Jason's topic, so I'm going to let him explain it.
Yes.
Wait, Jason? I had a topic?
Yes, you had a topic.
No, okay, here's what it is. Customization. It's every place. I mean, I think we all love it, but at what point does it become too much for a video game? Or is there even that point?
Ooh.
Dun, dun, dun.
You might want to know. We will discuss that in the core later on in the show. Of course, we've got Caleb's Corner, I assume.
Yes.
All right, cool. That wasn't a failure in my part right there.
Nope.
Took a shot in the dark, thought, you know, hope for the best and got the best.
You assume correctly.
Yes. And, of course, the news, the geek news and crazy news and all of that stuff. But before we get to that, how are you folks doing?
Doing pretty well today. Wife is feeling better, so
hooray!
She's been at work for the past couple days, so that's a definite improvement.
Nice, nice.
Yeah, it seems like the worst of it was actually a negative reaction to Sudafedra.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Huh.
Yeah, when the other night she was like getting ready to go to bed and looked and just like kind of on a whim read the back of the box because like she'd been having like strong reactions to being sick, and she's like listing off like feeling weak, feelings of anxiousness, or fever. If these symptoms and like one to others like are there, can discontinue use. So she's like, I have I have like three of these. All right, put that down. Went to bed, woke up feeling worlds better the next morning. So it's like, all right,
jeez,
yeah. Good. Yeah, called Kaiser up and they said, yeah, it happens sometimes. No, sometimes you'll take it and nothing happens. Other times, all of a sudden, this weird stuff that's happening to you. So,
well,
remember, read the box, folks. It's there for a reason.
Wow.
Well, at least she's feeling better. That's
yes.
The important thing.
Mm-hmm.
Did you get, I know you were having troubles with a pilot light earlier.
Somewhat fixed. The repair guy came yesterday and they... You know, I did some stuff, and it held through the night.
Mm-hmm.
So Lane got a nice hot shower in the morning. But this evening, he dropped by right before I left, and he's like, just to check on it, see if it was still running, and it was out again.
It was out.
So we all kind of like the head scratch, confused look, like what's going on here. So I think it might be a flaw in, or something. There might be something wrong in the actual like lighting system, where it's like when the heating flame turns off, it turns off the pilot light too for some reason.
Okay.
Or it goes out somehow. Well, that will hopefully be explained when I get home.
I still say it's your cat playing with you.
I agree, yeah.
Yeah, she has those ninja skills. She might be just like running in there, poof,
yep,
and running off again, like blowing on the flame and running out.
That's what
I didn't do anything. Look at me, I'm being cute.
It's like ninja training. She concentrates and puts out flames from a distance.
There you go.
How the rest of the folks?
working on getting better. I've updated my resume to see what else is out there. I'm also working on possibly making a decision that might change the course of my life. We'll see. I'm thinking about moving out of state, but we'll see how that goes first. There's a lot of different steps before that, you know, can even really be considered. So we'll see.
Mm.
Keep us informed so we don't say, and Jen, and where's Jen?
Right. We can use, like, just a sound effect to represent Jen, I suppose.
Get some sound clips of her.
Right. Yeah.
All you really need is just a recording of me going, hi!
And, like, random laughter and stuff like
that. That's true.
Now I'm not going to laugh.
Man. Can't take her anywhere.
Let's see, and as far as me, I'm getting over sickness as well, so that's always fun, and I'm pretty much past all of the normal symptoms, so I've finally started doing all of the unappetizing things that I will ruin people's appetites if I mention them on air.
Yeah, probably a good idea.
Then. Yeah. And, but, I mean, I still feel, like, kind of tired and knocked out. And it's weird because it's actually affecting my sleep.
You're so tired, it's hard to sleep?
Yeah, well, it ends up, like, I'll fall asleep at a bad time, and it ends up setting me up for not being able to sleep the rest of the night sort of thing.
Yeah, okay. So that makes more sense all of a sudden.
Yeah, like I'll completely crash out when I get home from work. And I mean, you're actually lucky I'm here right now. But yeah. And
we shall see.
Yeah, you're probably right on that.
No, I kid.
No, you're right.
Well, like I said, for Caleb, at least you're on the stage of getting over it instead of
I hope so. I mean, I'm thinking I should try some of that Sudafed stuff and see if I could bring some of those good old symptoms back.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's time for some new releases.
Yeah, I think so.
And coming out in the theater, we got a whole list of some amazing films.
That sounds not so promising.
A Resurrection. Admission.
Just one, or...
Apparently.
Okay.
Blood Runs Cold. Bob's New Suit.
Just one?
Apparently.
Okay.
Come Out and Play. Dwarf Man in Love.
Wow, that guy's still around?
Everybody Has a Plan. Give Me the Loot. Half Dead. Hunky Dory. Inappropriate Comedy with the A and the PP, like, capitalized, so it's almost like an app, I guess.
Okay.
Clever.
Yep. let's see. Olympus Has Fallen. That might be, looks like, the biggest release.
Yeah, I think I saw explosions in that, so it's probably the big one.
And on the animation side, the Croods are...
Oh, okay. Yeah.
That looked like it could be an actual good movie.
No explosions, though, so...
No.
That I saw. I mean, maybe they're hiding.
I thought I saw a volcano in one trailer.
Ooh, that's... Okay. Now it's promising again.
Mm.
I guess it could be between that and Bob's New Suit.
Mm-hmm, now it's now it's a contender.
Yeah. There you have the new releases for theaters.
Well, if that didn't rouse you up and put you in the mood to watch something, maybe this short list will give you something else to think about. There's The Bachelorette on Blu-ray and DVD. Fate Stay Night, the complete collection on DVD.
Oh, wow.
There's also Blu-rays, but they are being sold separately. So
you don't say. Okay.
Then there's Strange Frame on DVD. It's
just one?
Just single, yes.
Stop it!
Then Les Mis is on Blu-ray and DVD.
I've heard it was magical.
I heard there
it
was
always
singing.
Is. It's always magical watching people's misery.
The Miserables. Yep.
Yeah, yeah. One of the more famous newspaper gaffes. Then there's a movie called Shadow People on Blu-ray and DVD.
Ooh.
Zero Dark Thirty on Blu-ray and DVD. And then there was piles of Sesame Street, Scooby-Doo, and Elmo DVDs. So
nice.
I'm not going to list them all because there was a lot of them.
They release them in batches of 3,000.
The kids, seems like it.
The kids are covered for spring.
Yes, they are. They're probably covered all the way till like September and then some.
All righty. Well, moving on from the DVDs and the Blu-rays to the video games. We've got Gears of War Judgment dropping on the 360. We've got Monster Hunter 3 Ultimate for the Wii U. Hey, Wii U crowd, you got a new game.
Nice.
What?
You got The Walking Dead Survival Instinct for all the systems, even the Wii U. Hey, Wii U, nice. You got a new game. Speaking of another new game, LEGO City Undercover. There you go, Wii U, another new game.
Man, they're just raking them in.
The 3DS is also getting Monster Hunter 3 Ultimate.
Okay.
There's Dead or Alive 5 Plus for the Vita. It looks like Assassin's Creed 3 got some new DLC, The Betrayal. We've got Need for Speed Most Wanted U. Hey, Wii U, you got a new game. And Alien Spidey for the PC, 360, and Mac. And a few others, but those are some highlights for the week.
Alrighty. Over in the realm of comicdom, DC is throwing down something big in Action Comics number 18, but they're not saying what.
Ooh.
Constantine number 1. That's right. John Constantine jumps from Hellblazer into his own title. Then they're on the Marvel side, all new X-Men number 9. Part of the...
Now.
Later.
Yes.
Yes, now.
line. And I can't remember if this one's actually part of now or not, but there's a new G.I. Joe. G.I. Joe Special Missions, number 1.
Not now.
Possibly. Not sure.
So would just say now, like, now?
Now?
That's pretty good. Question.
On the indie side, our favorite judge is going back in time, so to speak. With
Judy?
No, but good guess. Dredd. Judge Dredd, year 1, number 1 starts. And then Adventure Time, number 14. Steed and Mrs. Peel, number 6. And Conan the Barbarian, number 14. There you go. That's been a smattering of the comics.
Nice. All right. Well, again, you're listening to Robots Attack, the one and only geek-centric talk show on KSU Santa Clara. We're here every Thursdays from 7-ish to 9-ish. We're going to take a quick music break and then come back with the news. Would anyone like to tease the folks with some news stories coming up?
How about this? The Age of the Universe Redefined.
Ooh, Redefined is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I hate to upstage you, but...
oh, man.
Lasers!
Ooh.
Dang it!
Redefined?
I went with smoke machines.
they're sort of the same definition, I guess. Okay.
But they are lasers.
Yeah.
So, you know. In fact, tell us what you think is more...
Defined.
Stageable.
Yeah, yeah.
Caleb, tell them how they can do that.
Well, you can find us on Facebook, do a search for Robots Attack, 2 words, or you can hit us up on Twitter. Our handle is Robots Attack Me, or you can find us on Gmail, or email at robotsattackshow@gmail.com. And if you just want to remember one thing, just got to remember one thing, robotsattack.me. That is the central location for all of our stuff. It has past episodes. It has... links to all the things I've described under a button that says interact. Woo-hoo! If you hit that, it will tell you how to find all the other things. Please interact with us. We like it when you do. We're watching Facebook and Twitter right now, and we will we'll give you a shout out when you
participate on the show anytime you want. Mm-hmm. Day or night, live, not live, podcast the show, as mentioned. So
if you're into things that people were doing like 5 years ago, you can poke us.
That's true.
I mean, nobody's poked us yet.
Yeah,
I know. It is sad. I lay awake at night sad that no one's poked us.
I cry in the mirror. Why?
Zombie poking dreams.
pokes.
But hey, did you know that you can listen to KSCU on your smartphone? Did you know that, guys?
I did.
Sweet. You're totally in the know. So you can actually just download a mobile Shoutcast app, such as TuneWiki, Shoutcast Radio, or tune in on radio or on Winamp and search for our internet stream. That is pretty cool. That's how I listen to you guys when I'm not here.
Awesome.
Nice. See, it works.
And remember, search for the call letters of the station, KSCU. That's the fastest way to find us.
Yeah. Because there are lots of radio stations.
Online,
with,
yes.
With the numbers and mm-hmm. stuff. And...
Indeed, indeed.
All right. We'll be right back after this track that's called Bad Planes from the artist Hunters from the album White Lies. We are Robots Attack.
You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at Robots Attack Me. Email them at robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook. And check out the website at robotsattack.me.
News.
That's right, we're in the news on Robots Attack. And as I said, the age of the universe has been redefined. That's right, they've been doing a lot of looking into the split second after the Big Bang. And new research shows that there is a decent chance that, or the results of this study seem to show that the universe is actually 80 million years older than they previously thought.
Wow.
So
that
yeah.
can happen in that time.
Yeah, definitely. And
in theory.
Let's see, the findings also really, they came out earlier today, say that bolted this theory that called inflation, which means that the universe came from a subatomic size to what it is now in a, or into the now observable expanse in a fraction of a second. So from subatomic particles to actual mass and particles in less than a second.
Mind blown.
Yes.
I love science.
This is, yeah, science, especially space science, is just so amazing.
Yeah, it's great.
These observations were made by the European Space Agency using their brand new Planck, PLANCK space probe. And they appear to be reinforcing predictions made decades ago solely on the basis of mathematical extrapolation. So, dudes, the universe, not only is it really, really freaking big, it used to be really, really, really small, and it got from tiny to enormous in less time than it takes to say enormous.
So, to summarize, the universe used to be lying about its weight, but now it's lying. It used to be lying about its age. Now neither.
No, just that the universe was assumed to
you
be.
You don't have to be ashamed, universe. We agent, like you the way you are.
Age ain't nothing but a number, baby. This extra, it's a deeper insight into the age of the universe. It's like
I don't get it.
You ever seen those people like you don't know how old they are? They just happen to be the age they are, and it seems like they've been that same age for almost all eternity. The universe is kind of like that. And when you find out, oh wow, they actually know about this or knew this thing, or around when this was cool, you know, it makes it kind of
like
it's
Patrick
just interesting.
Stewart, you have no idea how old that man is.
Yeah, yeah.
See, I know how old he is, but he's looked the same like the entire time that I've known him personally.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Which
the
is...
Highlander. There can be only one.
Yep. But to put a final bit of juice on this story there, the age of the universe with the new realization of this extra 80 million years puts it at roughly 13.81 billion, that's with a B, years old.
Tell that to the Bible Belt.
Thank you for that serving of au jus. And mm-hmm. Now to lasers.
Lasers.
Okay. I'll I have a roundabout way of getting to the lasers. First, you have to go all the way back to a previous story of mine about them talking about changing the launching system for aircraft carriers to making it so it's electromagnetic. And the big thing was that, well, aircraft carriers are basically giant electric producers. And so it's not as great to have steam anymore when you have all of this spare electricity.
True.
It just makes more sense to use the electricity. Well, they're taking that a step farther, and they're realizing, well, why are we carting all of these bullets and tons of extra fuel and all of this other stuff to all of these ships when we have all of this electricity? And
so they're turning them all into all electrics?
Well,
are they going hybrid, making it kind of green?
I guess, yeah, hybrid, I suppose you could say.
All right.
But, yeah, the idea is that more and more of this stuff, now that they're sort of getting close to proving lasers as a viable way of knocking things out of the sky when they need knocking down, well, it's a better thing to have a bunch of lasers than something else, because you can simply charge up battery for a laser instead of having ships carting ammunition and missiles to other ships all over the place when these ships can just make tons of their own electricity anyway.
Oh, okay. So that would replace the ship's, the standard ship's defenses of, like, bullets and missiles and stuff.
Exactly. And the extra savings becomes all of the other supply ships. You don't have to worry about them near as much, and you just have to worry about things like food and whatnot. But you barely feed sailors anyway. I mean, they like it that way.
Give them their daily dose of grog and they're fine, right?
Right. You just water down the rum and put a little lime and bam.
Plus they're on the ocean, so they can just like fish.
That's exactly true. Yeah. I didn't even think about that. They need to fish with the electricity now, and they're all set. Or the lasers.
The lasers are also also for the fishing.
Laser fishing poles.
Laser fishermen.
Just like roast the fish as they fit, and it's all done. You know, it's like it's cooked and it's, you know, fished at the same time.
Yeah. So, well, it just puts us in this sort of weird place, because I mean, obviously, fuel expenses are getting, like, really high, and that's no different for the military, and if anything, it's a much bigger thing because they have a lot more stuff that consumes a lot more fuel.
A lot more heavy things to move around. Tanks aren't known for their lightness.
Right.
And you can't replace a Yugo with an Abrams.
Right.
Yeah, it is funny how big the army is on, like, global warming. Out of all the groups, they're like, yeah, this is a problem, guys. we need to recognize this. It's like, you wouldn't really think that the army would be the one,
to
like
bring
the military,
to our attention.
I should say, would be the ones like waving the flag of, this is real. we should take care of this.
This is kind of an issue.
Yeah.
That is an interesting kind of twist. Yeah.
But yeah, it's just
getting back to lasers.
Yeah.
Lasers.
It's just this odd world that we suddenly find ourselves in, that we have to make this big jump in technology in order to save ourselves from other waning technologies. So
sort of it makes all the sci-fi movies with the laser guns so much more accurate now.
Yeah. I mean, the downside is that in order to have a personal laser gun, you need a very big battery and the nuclear power plant.
Details. But
so will laser guns be like cell phones in the sense that, you know, like the really old cell phones had the big boxes?
Eventually.
So like that's what a laser gun will be. Yeah. Like, it's a giant battery box or something.
And yeah. It's a whole backpack that has you know, you're like Blaine.
And we'll all be saying like, oh, remember back in the day when lasers.
Look at that guy's laser.
Were like the Akira lasers. And
yeah, definitely.
Alrighty. Well, before I get to my story,
ooh,
Jen's got a cool PSA for y'all.
Especially if you're an animal lover who wants to help homeless animals find their forever homes. And do you have limited time to volunteer, though? You can join San Jose Animal Advocates, a local nonprofit that is building a community network to help find loving foster and forever homes for pets in your local shelters. With your help, we can save countless animals. All it takes is a few clicks, and you can share your stories with your network of friends. It's easy. Join us at SJ animaladvocates.org or look for us on Facebook.
Sweet. All right. Well,
very cool.
From lasers to kids learning zombie survival skills.
Zombie survival skills.
Say what?
That's right. I nabbed this story from IGN. Apparently, the city of Cedar Rapids, Iowa, isn't messing around with the future of the Earth's living population. And a real show of foresight, the Parks and Recreation Department has put together a zombie survival training camp. The two-week survival camp is set to take place at the Usher's Ferry Historic Village through the end of March. Children 8 to 12 are invited to join in and participate in a humans versus zombies water gun war test on the final day.
Mm-hmm.
We assume that the adult population of Cedar Rapids is invited to go ahead and bite it come the rise of the undead. So, yeah.
So wait, they're arming some of the zombies, is or?
I
don't
want to
be one
so.
Of the zombie kids. Then that wouldn't be as fun.
Yeah, they no. have water gun. They got guns too. This is not cool,
right?
No, I imagine it's just the kids with the water guns. But
okay,
I guess if you want to find out more, you can contact, you know, the Parks and Rec Department. Not the television show, but the in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. But yeah,
it would be pretty good. Like the kids, they won't die. They won't die.
You hear one of them yelling, "Aim for the head! Aim yeah. for the head!
Get down!
Get down again!
Get down again!" But hey, you got to start them early. You mm-hmm. know, mm-hmm. I mean,
it's true.
Train them now.
I have sort of a spinoff story for that that I thought was interesting. That's not like a huge thing or anything, but I actually heard something. Or when I was looking through stories for tonight. Mm-hmm. The CIA is actually thinking about doing more things like that right there
uh-huh.
as, like, training things in general so that they can be ready for more flexible disasters and so on.
What was it? I know I reported on a story. I can't remember if it was the CDC. There was some department
yes,
that
the
did.
Yes, the CDC did.
They did a practice sort of, mm-hmm. like, virus outbreak.
Yes.
You know,
zombie
quote, unquote,
virus
zombie virus, virus yeah. outbreak test.
Uh-huh.
Just to test, like, how they'd handle things. Because, I mean, if you think about it, all the stuff would apply, you know, mm-hmm. minus, you know, just take away
it,
the
zombie
element of zombies.
Right.
People being, going crazy and rushing to mad and, you know, mm-hmm. chaos basically ensuing, like, can you handle it and all that.
Right,
stuff,
and everybody
so.
Knows all of the best zombie stuff. It's really not about the zombies. It's about all the dumb stuff humans do in relation to the zombies.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right, who's got our next story?
I do.
Oh, Wilson does. All right.
Ooh.
I'm going to go from lasers to uh-huh. electroluminescent paint.
Whoa. Ooh.
So I'm doing a whole lot of glowing tonight.
Yeah.
Not personally. But.
I was going to say, doing I thought I noticed.
It was a light show.
Am I glowing? Am I?
Stop it.
Well, anyway, this company did kind of a cool thing, and they put together, best I can tell, it's still based on current technology, so it's a phosphorescent.
Right.
But it's a paint that's literally just meant to be sprayed on things and patterns or whatnot, and with a mild electric charge, you can illuminate the paint. And so that leads to a whole bunch of kind of neat things as far as any sort of electronic devices that you want to be able to find easier or that you need to create light for using it.
Sort of also would be good for like emergency signs and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. And the thing that Gizmodo, who did this story, pointed out was, I mean, kind of the far future thing that would be really awesome is just put it on a wall. You don't need lighting anymore.
Oh,
your
wow.
walls are the lighting.
Or paint an object and it becomes the light.
Right.
Can you turn it off, though?
Oh, hopefully. That would be like an experiment for driving people mad, I think.
Sounds like something out of a Clockwork Orange. They're the walls. They won't turn off.
Right. Or like the white rooms in the Matrix, but
yeah, someone's phone's dancing.
Look at me, I'm dancing.
I scrambled and tried to turn off the sound, and I did it anyway. But anyway, we'll try and repost the story so that you can see some of the interesting things that they're doing with it already.
Cool deal.
Cool. Yeah, we post all our stories to our Facebook page, so if you want to go and check out the full effect or...
the full gambit of our stories.
That's where you can see them.
Yes.
Robots attack. So,
Caleb. I said gambit because he also threw glowing things.
Ooh,
so.
I gotcha. Okay. Gotcha. Makes sense.
It wasn't because I was being ignorant of how it's actually at all.
It makes sense, mon ami.
Hey, there you go. I like your accent.
It's really good, isn't it?
Uh-huh. I like your robot impression, too.
Yes, I am Robot Gambit from the Bayou. Mon cher, want to play some cards?
All right, well, to save us all from more of this.
Yes, please do.
I bring you something that will help
corn.
No, not this time.
Oh, dear. See, if I knew that was I would have had like a corn song cued. Play it.
Either that or the lightning strikes.
Something a little bit less dramatic than that, but you know, we've talked about, like, you know, looking deep into space, lasers.
No, we haven't.
Making lasers and glowing paint. Well, coming up with all that science, you got to power it. And zombies, yeah. And to power all the science-mindedness that goes into these things, what's better than caffeine?
Nothing much. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what in the world could be better than caffeine. I don't know. I just don't know it because it's very awesome and it makes me feel, no.
Wait, that's my mic, too.
Anyway, the company in New York claims to have the strongest cup of coffee you can get.
That's all the world needs. That's all New York needs.
Even stronger coffee, yeah. It's called Death Wish Coffee. And
the aptly named.
Yeah. It claims to have 200% more caffeine than your standard cup of coffee.
Oh, dear Lord.
Mm. Now, to put that in perspective, a standard cup of coffee, 12-ounce cup of coffee from Starbucks, contains approximately 260 milligrams of caffeine. Death Wish coffee has 520 milligrams of caffeine, which is double. So
That's a fair amount.
It will probably give you the jitters by at least the second sip. The second cup if you have built up a tolerance over the years to it. But
and
yeah.
Then after the crash is when they have that, and it's when you turn into zombies. And so we're back to zombies. Yay.
There you go. See?
Full circle.
Full circle on Robot Stack.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's a company out of Pleasantdale, New York. And they say that the Roastmeister, Mike Brown, said that he did a lot of research in Indonesia, Ethiopia, and South America and found the strongest beans and turned them into...
Only the strongest beans go into our coffee.
Yeah, only the strong survive. So they sell 13 blends in Death Wish. The company sells 13 different blends of coffee, and the Death Wish is their most popular.
Is Roastmeister something they came up with, or is that a real thing?
That's the word I used.
Oh, I totally love it. I want to be a Roastmeister now.
Maybe one day.
Yeah. The FDA did also say that they're looking into regulating some of these drinks a bit, because apparently there's some research being done into the effects of energy drinks on the human body, so... Then there's people that are going, maybe this isn't such a hot idea to have a whole lot of this.
No, they just reclassify the coffee as a nutritional supplement and you're all set.
Mm-hmm.
Like the energy drinks do.
Yeah. Interesting fact, a 24-ounce can of Monster is 480 grams of caffeine, which is still less than Death Wish at 520.
Jeez, and there's warnings on Monster now, isn't it? Where they're like,
yes.
Don't drink two of these in an hour or something?
Yeah. A teenage girl had a
burst
cardiac,
into flames!
Had cardiac arrest, which I guess could sort of be like that. after consuming a Monster energy drink a while, not so long ago. So Be
okay,
smart
I
about
know,
this.
No, I know that's a big story and everything, but this was a tiny, tiny girl.
Oh yeah, who
drank literally the biggest can of stuff that she could possibly find in like less than half an hour.
Yeah, I don't know all the
while on like other things too.
Yeah.
So
there's a lot of contributing factors to the potential danger of caffeine, but just be aware that it's something that's out there. it does affect you. That's all. That's all. I think that's all.
I hate that story.
I think it's all the update really wants to say.
Not that energy drinks are all great or whatnot, but still,
yeah.
Well. I'm going to give you a story that maybe you won't like as well.
Go for it. Bring it.
Apparently,
come on.
Bond 24, which it's titled right now, probably won't come out for another 3 years. According to Reuters, MGM chairman and chief executive officer Gary Barber told investors in a conference call yesterday that they, quote, look forward to developing the script soon and signing a director. We are hoping within the next 3 years it will be released. So,
wow.
Yeah, maybe they'll...
Not an overly ambitious schedule, is it?
Yeah. The fact that Sam Mendes, the director of Skyfall, didn't sign on to do the sequel probably didn't help things. So,
yeah, okay.
So, yeah, if you were looking forward
now
to
that he's
another...
all in demand and can do projects that he wants to do.
But, yeah, so if you were looking forward to a Bond movie relatively soon... You're going to have to wait a while again.
See, the first thing that went through my mind when you said that was, wait, they're redoing the 24 series as like a James Bond thing?
What's
cause
the,
that I
where's the
watch.
Bomb? Where's the bomb?
Where's the Bond?
Where's the Bond?
Where's the Bond?
Where's the bomb?
20
with
hours
Bond.
Of that.
Yeah. I'm like this because I haven't gone to the bathroom in 24 hours. Where's the bathroom? So before Jen wraps us up, do you want to do the robot story real quick?
Yes, I'll do the robot story, and a shout out to Kevin. Thanks for liking our page.
Yeah.
And we appreciate you looking for the poking thing on Facebook, and apparently you can't poke a page. So
yeah.
I know. Thank you for checking in, Kevin. Our robot story comes from...
That's it. We're moving to Google Plus.
Where the future of poking lives.
Actually, I think Tumblr is the new hot stuff, actually, from what I hear.
Tumblr is pretty big these days.
So we might have to make
did
a Tumblr
I actually
page.
Join something ahead of the curve then?
Yes,
what
you
is
did.
Happening here? The world has gone mad.
You are really cool, mon ami.
Getting back to robots, because robots are actually cool.
Video
oh,
games.
Oh, thank you. At least the robot patronized me. What's wrong with you?
I don't know, mon ami.
Oh, man.
Thank you, Robo Gambit.
You are welcome.
Getting
hello,
back.
Reoccurring character.
From Robo Gambit to real robots, DARPA is, which is really big into all of these robotics things, in case you hadn't noticed, is working on something they call the Tactically Expendable Maritime Platform. The goal of this project is to...
So it's Scud the Disposable Assassin?
No, not this time.
Oh, okay.
This is... shipping containers are used by pretty much everybody when you need to move things around. And then once you get there, you have an empty container that you have to either send back or make useful, which is what the
Navy does.
The Navy aims to do
is
add robot.
In the Navy. I don't know any more words in the Navy.
Right.
Yes.
I like the little dance. That was particularly good radio.
I try in the Navy.
Hey, so, all sorts of naval stories today, too.
Yeah, that's a good point.
What about your navel?
It's fuzzy.
So the idea is to make use of the shipping containers to
do more than just carry the things to their destination. It's like once they're there, they can be sealed and used as landing platforms for cranes or helicopters or as bridges and things of that nature. The idea, the GRASP lab at UPenn, which is better known for their use of quadcopters, is
now making quadcopters out of giant things.
No, they're working on how to, since they, with their work on quadcopters and the flocking.
And what was that?
Yeah, what?
Flocking, as in birds, what they do.
All right. almost dumped you there.
Yeah, no worries. The algorithms used for in those procedures they're using that to make a behavioral system for the robots that will guide the containers to the places so they can be used to make bridges or platforms of some sort or another. The goal is to make them smart enough to sense the motion of the ocean. And yes, I realize the pun there. And create either high or low tension connections so that it can either move with the surface motion of the ocean or be a rigid surface on top of it. So very cool things being done there.
Nice. Alrighty, well, to wrap us up in this news on KSCU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, The Underground Sound, you're listening to Robots Attack. We're almost done with the news.
Woo-hoo.
Jen's going to wrap us up with
this today in history.
Hooray.
Okay, so we have kind of a couple things that are going on. So first I'm going to start off with some local history. Today in 1963, Alcatraz closed its doors as a prison. Oh. Yeah.
There you go then.
Yeah, I was like, wait.
Boo.
Yeah, and then also today in 1980, the famous cliffhanger for the series Dallas was aired.
Dun, dun, dun. Awesome.
Yeah, the character everyone loved to hate was mysteriously shot.
Okay.
Yeah, J.R. Ewing.
Big ol'.
Yeah.
Who shot J.R.?
Exactly, yeah. Okay, and then
Maggie. wait, no. Difference. That's
Burns.
Gyllenhaal?
No.
She was a little bit young back then.
Well, she would be the appropriate... Anyways.
Okay, and then a little bit of fandom for you. Today is Gary Oldman's birthday, born in 1958.
Yes!
Whoa.
Bring down his mic just
watch
a touch,
yourself.
I think.
I apologize if your speakers in your car were just blown out. That's Super Jason's love for the Oldman.
Send your complaints to superjason@gmail.com. No, don't. I actually don't know who that belongs.
You just gave away my email address?
We don't know where that actually goes.
Yeah,
don't
so
send
don't
email
don't
there.
Don't actually yeah. send that there. Okay, and then a little
nice
bit.
Save.
Just don't want to get somebody in trouble. Probably me. And then for you old school Doctor Who fans, today I didn't write it down. Darn it! It was in 1980, I believe. Tom Baker retired as the fourth Doctor.
Wow,
yeah. I remember that.
How old
in reruns.
You were 1 year old.
Yeah, in reruns.
No, he remembered it as a 1 year old.
Yes.
That was the one show his parents would let him watch.
That was the power of the Doctor Who. The TARDIS reached through space and time, touched my brain, and said, he's retiring. Your first real Doctor's retiring. I'm like, no.
His 1 year old self was hanging out the crib with the
Super Song scarf.
with the scarf on.
Okay, and one last thing. Today in 2006, not that long ago, at Jack did the first tweet.
Mm.
Yeah, at Jack. I don't even know who that is, but that's what I'm told from the interwebs. It was at Jack.
Whoa. There you go. Yeah. Oh, that would probably be Jack Dorsey, who was one of the founders of
Twitter.
Oh, that
makes sense.
Yeah.
And also would explain why he has such a simple name, you know.
Yeah, sure. he got a four-letter name.
Before.
Yeah. I was there. He was there at the beginning.
Sort right. of like the guy on Xbox that just has the gamertag E.
Yeah. Yeah. That guy got in there real early.
All right, so that wraps it up for today in history.
Woohoo! All right.
I do feel the need, though, that one thing should
be... The need for speed?
Yes, the need for speed. I do need to update from last show. I did do the dolphin story, how they were on the loose and armed in the Black Sea.
Yeah, yes.
Apparently it was a hoax.
Oh
man.
Yeah.
Good hoax, though.
Yeah.
I totally believed it. I didn't go swimming in the Black Sea that weekend.
You weren't anywhere near the Black Sea.
I didn't either.
Yeah. Well, you know, just extra precaution.
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
So, alrighty, well, we just wrapped up the news portion of Robots Attack, the one and only geek-centric talk show on KSCU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, The Underground Sound. We're going to take another music break and then come back with Caleb's Corner. Would you like to tease the folks?
Yes, this one has to do with the Uncanny Valley.
Oh, shiver.
That's a valley, all right.
Mm-hmm. And it's uncanny. You don't want to be caught in it.
No me gusta. No me gusta.
Maybe, maybe X-Men show up there too sometimes.
Possibly.
All righty.
Uncanny Valley of the X-Men.
No!
No! And Wolverine is in it. Because he's everywhere.
Yes.
We are Robots Attack.
You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at Robots Attack Me. Email them at robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook. And check out the website at robotsattack.me.
And now, it's time for Caleb's Corner.
All right, everyone. Welcome to my corner where I get to talk about something that I found interesting. In this case, it's the Uncanny Valley, which, if you're not familiar with that term...
Which we have visited many times.
We have visited before on the show. If you're unfamiliar with the term, though, just a quick overview. It's when something is synthetic but looks so much like the real thing that it becomes eerily close to the real thing.
And basically, when things are creepy.
Yeah. It's
And you can't really explain it.
Mm-hmm.
Nine times out of ten, that's Uncanny Valley.
Yes.
It almost looks human. It makes me uncomfortable.
Yep. In the latest...
Stop talking about me that way.
In the latest version of the Plumbing the Depths of Uncanny Valley is the Galaxy Chocolate. They have a new ad for their candy bar. And it's... set against the 1960s Mediterranean coastline, and they have Audrey Hepburn in it. And not just a Audrey Hepburn lookalike. They went to the trouble of creating a eerily good digital replica of Audrey Hepburn to do it. And it is disturbingly good how well this CGI character integrates with the scene and looks like the person she is supposed to be, that she's impersonating. There is a video that goes along with
it. That doesn't creep me out at all. That's you. That's just because you're an Audrey Hepburn fan, and
no,
I'm not.
No, when you see it, it's actually rather creepy. And furthermore, it's just sort of odd that there it kind of
no
leads,
I disagree with your story. No.
it leads into the whole, like, do we really still need actors anymore? Because, you know, this commercial brought Audrey Hepburn back. They at Coachella, they brought back
Tupac?
Yes. And, you know, it's like they're resurrecting people that have in digital form that are no longer with us. It's like, do we even really still need the original anymore in some ways? Like the artificial is good, is getting to the point that it's almost good enough to replace the need for
the actors
as we know them. Yeah as we know it. There will still always be a place for people to act, I understand it, because, like, you know, the book didn't disappear because digital books came out. The movie theaters didn't die because DVDs came out. They're different now. The business model will change, but yeah, it's strange to think about what the future is going to hold for this, because
one thing that actually, I mean, this has been a while back now. It seems like it's yesterday, but the actor strike that accompanied the writer strike, and I realize that's already like years ago now, but part of that was actually going to be negotiating what the new rights are for actors as far as all of this digital stuff goes, because a lot of actors were a little bit afraid that, well, okay, you can just take audio from my off scenes or whatnot and then have me doing whatever when I don't really support whatever that characterization was doing. I want control over that. I want to have acted that. And I don't think anything ever ended up coming of it, but it was kind of interesting back then that a lot of people were actually up in arms about it.
As a not that I am a performer, but I could see in their mind, like looking at this situation going, this is going to get out of control if something isn't done about it, you know, to say, to at least...
I can understand being concerned, yeah.
Slow it down just enough that people can like either can get, give some sort of consent about how this is going to be used. Like it, let the estate get involved somehow before the thing is released.
Yeah. Well, I mean, does the story say much about the estate or no?
No, it does not say whether the estate had much to do with it. But I'm sure that they were involved because, you know, she, her likeness has been used in other ads for Gap and J'adore. Which is another company I'm not familiar with, but yeah.
See, that's why they just need to stick with politicians, because they're allowed to do whatever they want with the images of politicians.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, something to consider, or or stick to creating unique characters like
politicians.
I was thinking more along the lines of Toucan Sam and the Noid, but sure, politicians as well.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's just, it's like, while on the one hand I applaud the team for the technical achievement, it is an amazing bit of work.
Mm-hmm.
It's still just sort of
just
like,
creeps you out
just a little bit. Just like, I feel conflicted all of a sudden. I want to like this, but I don't like it.
How is the is it pretty realistic in the video? I mean,
yes.
Is it okay? So
yes, it's startlingly good. And even when you go up to the 720p version of the video, it's like, it looks quite good. they actually did a really good job of like doing the text, the shading. They call them shaders. The mathematical replication of skin where like. It reflects light at different layers and different colors. So they actually did a really good job of that. So her skin tone even looks like a person in the Mediterranean sun.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's really impressive. Which right. means that they spent almost as much money on this commercial as people do on feature films, probably.
Wow. Well,
either that or they just got a bright, shiny new app.
That wrap up.
Yes,
Caleb's
that wraps
corner.
The corner.
Alrighty. Well, before I get to some entertainment news, we got a PSA.
Undercurrents and the Quest for Space, an art exhibition exploring the universal concerns of women, features the works of more than 20 Asian American female artists. The exhibition runs from May 2nd to the 25th at the SOMARTS Cultural Center in San Francisco. For more information, call 415-252-7996 or email info@aawaa.net.
Alrighty, it's
Asian Women in Space.
Okay.
Yeah, sure.
Entertainment news.
Alrighty. Well, if you are a fan of Carrie Russell, you may know her as Felicity. I believe she's also on a new show, The Americans. Well, she's joining the cast of Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. Fox's Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. She'll play the female lead in the sequel. But is her character human or ape?
Dun, dun, dun.
Could check out
fair
the
question.
Yeah. You can check out the full story on our Facebook page or go to IGN because that's where I grabbed it. Also, in movie news, Ken Levine is responsible for the BioShock film being destroyed.
What?
Yeah, he didn't like where things were going. Speaking at a BAFTA event held in London yesterday, Levine said then-director Gore Verbinski left over disagreements regarding budget changes proposed by Universal Studios, bringing the original $200 million budget down to $80
million. Whoa.
Oh, wow.
Quote, what happened was, this is my theory, it's a very big movie and Gore was very excited about it and he wanted to make a very dark, what he would call a hard-rated horror film, an R-rated film with a lot of blood. Levine said, then The Watchmen came out, and I really liked The Watchmen, but it didn't do well for whatever reason, and the studio got cold feet about making an R-rated $200 million film. Levine said enough time had gone by that Verbinski turned down proceeding on the new budget, and he, quote, didn't see a match with the replacement director brought on by Universal. Quote, Take-Two is one of those companies that gives a lot of trust to their creative people, and so they said to me, if you want to kill it, Ken, kill it. And I killed it.
Well, so, better to kill it than to have it come out and be not good.
Yeah, I agree as well. And my final story, well, it's looks like it's going to happen.
Uh-oh.
I mean, we all suspected, had pretty good ideas this was going to happen. And, mm-hmm. and you know, Mr. Ford isn't exactly saying that it's going to happen, but, you know, mm-hmm. we all know.
Yeah.
Harrison Ford, that is, was in Chicago this week when a local TV reporter hit him with the big Star Wars question. The reporter asked if the, quote, old gang is getting back together for the new movie, to which Ford very carefully replied, I think it's almost true. I think I'm looking forward to it. It's not in the bag yet, but I think it's happening. So yeah.
Very, very nice to scoot around the bush like that.
Yeah. So.
It's the nod without saying anything. I say nothing, but I say something at the same time.
Yeah. So there you have it. You know.
There's a teeny tiny blurb too. If you don't know already, you know that Sir Patrick Stewart is getting married, and who will be officiating his wedding? Sir Ian McKellen.
Oh, right on!
Wow,
I did not know that.
Sir.
That's a lot of sirs.
Yes.
So it can be, sir, wait, is this my seat at the table? which sir? Oh, that's sir. Oh.
Sir, it's not your seat, sir. That's his sir.
Exactly. All right, that's been some entertainment news. We're going to take another quick music break and then come back and discuss some video games.
Yes.
Celebrate the Great Gourd at the world-famous Half Moon Bay Art and Pumpkin Festival, October 13th and 14th from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. on historic Main Street. For more information, call 650-726-9652.
Alrighty, welcome back to Robots Attack. We're going to discuss some video games.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, the one we're going to discuss tonight is the Gears of War Judgment demo, which Caleb and Super Jason got a chance to play.
Mm-hmm.
Jensen. Yeah, just me. That's it.
What? No, both of us. Come on now. We teamed up for a
no.
while. No. Whatever. Oh, it was fun when teaming up with Jason to play the game, even though he doesn't want to admit it.
Okay, I'll admit it.
So, gentlemen, how was it?
It's good. I like it a lot. It's
explain what exactly you did for those who
The demo is of the multiplayer match style called Overrun, and it is a point control style game where there is a defender and an aggressor. The defender is trying to block protect a point on the map, and the obviously aggressor tries to take it over. If you can get through the whole map and take the generator at the end of it, then you that you win, obviously. The team that takes the least amount of time to, as aggressor, to complete the map is the absolute winner of the whole round. So it's a 2-round segment.
Okay.
Yep.
For those unfamiliar, the two teams are the Cog and the Locust. Locusts are underground-dwelling creatures.
I mean, the bad part about this is that neither Caleb or I are huge fans of the previous series, so we're going to absolutely butcher anything as far as backstory or whatnot. But mm-hmm. what we can tell you is that it does a way better job of this style of gameplay than anything else that's tried to do it, in my view, in the past. I mean, I've tried games that are similar. They did a multiplayer version on Dead Space 2 that had some kind of cool merits, but I mean, it's always been kind of a disaster having monstrous things versus human things, just because the monsters generally aren't smart enough to do more interesting things besides having like a special power or two.
Right.
So this one, it has an awful nice shortcut, is that these monsters are actually pretty smart. And so they're effectively just normal humanoids.
Right.
They're a little bit more on the brutal side, so their tactics aren't quite like
as refined.
Right. But they make up for it with a lot of interesting abilities paired with the kind of classic things like guns and such.
Right.
Were real people controlling them, or was it AI?
It's real people. It's a team, all human teams, 8 players max.
Okay.
So 4 locust, 4 human, if I remember correctly.
5.
5?
Yeah, 5 apiece. And yeah, my kind of classic problem that I had with the series was just that it always felt like it took forever to kill anything. And they have a lot of varied classes with a lot of varied weaponry that ends up immediately giving you a different set of things to work with if you had that problem with the series in the past.
Yeah, and all the classes are actually pretty distinct, and they which is good, and they all and their abilities really complement. So like having a team of all one thing or another is, you know, ill advised. But when you do,
explain the classes. Like
for Cog, they have a medic.
Either one of you.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
I mean, it does not continue. I'm just saying, like, feel free to, you know, also jump in as well, Super Jason.
Okay.
For the Cog, there is a medic, which has obviously healing boost. There's
with the basic Lancer rifle,
yeah, and a sawed-off shotgun, which is really good for when something gets close. There's the
like shotguns are,
yeah, like shotguns tend to be, but it's like an especially powerful shotgun, I think. The soldier class is pretty cool; has standard Lancer and the
a grenade launcher,
yeah, and it's his special ability is he throws out ammo crates, so people can run by and pick up more bullets. Then there's the scout, which has a sniper rifle and a pistol, and
it has a sensor grenade that allows you to see things through walls and whatnot. And then the final class, it's sort of the title character, is Dom, as the it's the engineer, and so it has a special ability that allows you to throw out turrets, which are effectively the best at quashing any sort of charge through attacks.
Yeah.
So it ends up being kind of interesting because the locusts, the more monstrous characters start out as a little skittery thing that runs in and can blow things up. And then a more like ape-like character that can do a lot of climbing and has a yelling attack that doesn't really hurt, but it stuns things.
Yes.
And it can do basic melee also. And the tricky thing about that is that the stun thing, it leaves you standing there like you're stupid. So you need somebody else there to help you out and actually finish off the guy.
Yes.
If you manage to stun somebody. So you need a little bit of coordination for that. But that said, it also has way more ability to run around the map than any of the other characters because it can climb things super easy.
Yeah.
Which
the
is
scout
also,
can also climb.
Yeah, the scout can do it a little bit as well.
But
then it gets into normal locusts, which is your basic Lancer and a shotgun. But the big thing is it has fragmentation grenades, and they're
pretty mean.
Yeah, it's basically what makes the baseline locust something that can actually compete with the cog, because the cog are pretty tough. They have very good weapons, but a well-placed frag grenade can knock out like three people at a time.
Yeah. The
oh, and everything, all of the special abilities, including that fragmentation grenade, instead of it working off of actual ammo amounts, it's a timer that resets. So it ends up being a little bit odd as far as, like, oh, well, am I growing grenades out of my back? Which would be a cool ability, don't get me wrong. But in some of the abilities, it ends up feeling a little bit odd. Like, I don't know where these turrets are popping out of that they regenerate so quickly.
I suspect it. See, for the turrets, I would say it's kind of like a little bit of the Borderlands thing, where it's like a device which generates the next pack, and then you can drop that. But so it's maybe a similar thing with the grenades.
I think it's the classic thing. Mechanic. It breaks your brain a little bit in order to have it be more playable and more fun.
Yeah. The other thing that's fun about the locusts is that they have a wider variety of creature types of units. The cog has the four, and that's all there is. But
locusts have a baseline four.
Yes.
And the one that we haven't mentioned from the baseline is the like medic. A priest healer type thing, which it has like a short range SMG burst fire weapon.
Which is also pretty mean.
Yeah, not too
solid.
Bad.
Yeah.
A little bit useless at long range, but...
Yeah, it's kind of the SMG problem in a nutshell, though.
Especially when all of the COG stuff can pick things off at long range with no problem.
Yeah.
But the neat thing is, by getting points off of kills and accomplishing objectives with the locusts, it unlocks another four characters.
Yes, in progression.
Right. Well, characters is sort of a loose term. The first one is an actual character, but the other three are basically monsters. And they're a lot of fun to use.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, the fifth one is the which one was the fifth one again?
It's a raging type of
that's
locust.
Right.
It's a base locust that's kind of small and not terrible tough, but it's like the sniper of them.
Yeah.
But how it offsets that is that it can go into rage and it turns into this big hulking thing that can take things out in one swipe. That's on a timer and it wears off, and so you can't do it through the entire thing.
But
it's
sniper
a neat,
rifle's mean.
Like, swip and swap.
Yeah.
It's kind of cool to be not useless in hand-to-hand combat when you're the sniper.
Then after that's the
centipede
one. That one's fun. I like that one a lot when I can get that one. Your weakness is your backside at the end of your tail.
Right, but it's a centipede. It's really long.
Yeah,
it can be wrapped around corners that are dark or like chained off to the enemy.
And the special ability is to like kind of sit up and like spit acid at people.
Which isn't terrible strong, but still the ability to actually sit up, it kind
shoot
works.
Over walls.
Yeah, it works like the climbing ability, sort of.
Okay.
Yeah. And after that's
main thing to me about that one is that it's really tough to kill, and its biting attack is pretty strong. And it's like completely flush to the ground, so you can't even see the thing if it's in the right places, like hiding correctly and so on.
Okay.
Then there's the one with the heavy flail, right?
Right. It's a big shield thing. It's kind of the juggernaut if you're used to things like Call of Duty or whatnot. But yeah, it's got a massive flail that it endlessly like flings around its head, and that's a pretty long range kill. But it's not invulnerable unless it has the shield up in front of it.
And it's pretty slow moving, so. And I don't think I've ever... Did anyone... Oh, yeah, then there's the fourth one, which is a... I can't remember what it's called now, but it's a burrower, and it has these four massive claws that just deal out massive amounts of damage to
anything it touches. It can kill anything in one shot, basically. It took me a while, but I finally managed to unlock it the other night.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I'd compare it to the flail guy. in a lot of ways. It's just that instead of even having the chance of things flanking you from behind with the shield, mm-hmm. it slowly moves through the underground.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I don't think the shield guy actually has like a charge up ability. It's just that it's tough and it has the shield.
Yeah, you either spin your shield or you're using your flail. But cool. That makes you pretty freaking tough because the shield is a pretty decent attack as well if you get too close.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. And just to clarify, I believe you mentioned, so like if one person picks one class, that isn't locked out for everybody else. Like
no, you can have as many of any type of creature as you like. But it's good to have a diversity since they...
And on the flip side, on the cog side as
yes.
well?
See, that's the thing that sort of bugged me. Like, for Locusts, it makes sense because you have effectively, like, this endless supply of whatever, like mm-hmm. cookie-cutter things instead of characters. But when you have a team completely composed of medics, they're actually all the same woman. They're named the same, and they don't change anything. So it ends up feeling a little bit weird. Like, they're all the same redhead, and it's the same if you're all engineers, you're all, like, the title character. Saying, yeah. And that's the other thing, too. They all say the same things, and it's not a good rotation of things that they say when they're using special abilities.
Okay.
So if you have like an entire crew of the same guy, you're hearing the same thing like chattered back and forth over and over and over again. Yeah.
Of course, it is also the demo. They might have expand it.
No, that's the only way it is. So thus far, as far as we know, that's the way it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, and also maybe just, you know, you'd be able to unlock new skins and...
Yeah.
You know, maybe DLC and that sort of stuff down the road. But okay, so final question.
Yes.
As you guys mentioned, you aren't really super into Gears.
Mm-hmm.
Does this change your minds on anything? Still the same? Do you think you'll end up picking this up or?
If I can scratch up enough where I would actually consider, I would definitely consider getting this one. Because it seems to have amended some of the things that I thought were a bit odd about the first Gears. But without losing that gear style, which is kind of what the other thing that it has a lot of is just style.
It oozes it. It drips it.
Mm-hmm.
So. It grows it in.
Ew.
Same question to Super Jason.
It's sort of odd for me because I really wanted the last one. And I didn't end up getting it because money got tight, as did for, I think, practically everybody.
Yeah. No.
And so I sort of feel the same way about this one. It's like, I really want it, but I don't know how that's going to come down as far as me actually spending the cash for it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's not my A++++ title choice, so.
But.
I would like to buy it.
Okay.
So that's
still
that's
answers the question. Mm-hmm. We all are strapped for money, but it has moved from to on my list of actual games I'll probably buy at some point.
Definitely, yeah.
Cool.
Very cool.
Alrighty, well, we're going to take another music break and then come back with the core where we'll discuss customization in video games. Too much, too little? What do you think? All right, we are Robots Attack, the one and only geek-centric talk show on KSU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, The Underground Sound.
You are now entering the core. Enjoy your stay.
Okay, welcome back to Robots Attack. We are talking about customization, mainly in the video game field. But basically what brought me to this idea was playing a whole bunch of Dead Space 3, which the big thing in that is that it has tons and tons of different weapons that you can create just by the random stuff that you've scavenged throughout the game. And it ends up becoming a lot of the standard weapons just quickly, but it ends up becoming a bunch of really interesting things just as quickly as well. And it ended up making me think, like, well, at what point is all of this stuff going to end up being just frustrating, you know? Because how long will it take for them to make a game where there's so much stuff where you have to try it out over and over again that you're just sick of trying to find the right weapon when it existed in the first game, you know? So it was just something that was bouncing around in my brain, so I kind of wanted to get your guys' notions on that and maybe some of your own impressions from other games that you feel have kind of pushed too far, or what you've particularly liked about it that you thought was unique.
Well, speaking on that of something that isn't frustrating.
Okay.
How smart is your phone? You can, if you possess futuristic alien technology, you can tune your phone into KSCU subliminal messages. The application, the secret is to download a Shoutcast-compatible application from Shoutcast.com or TuneWiki.com. Then you can search for, locate, and decode our signals. Prepare yourself for KSCU world domination. We rule with an exclamation point.
Gotta have
You're
that
welcome.
Exclamation point.
That was pretty exclamatory.
Sweet.
So what do you think, Caleb? What do you think?
I kind of like the idea myself, especially for Dead Space 3, because
of things going too far. You like that?
No, not things going too far.
I think we're
reaching the point where we're technologically we're up to a graphical level that we can start messing around with the idea of how the world itself how the world can interact with itself, so to speak, like how your character and the world are joined together and how the player can make it more their own. And not just it's Isaac, he's got the plasma cutter, and that's kind of his thing, you know. It's like you can have a plasma cutter, but it's not just a plasma cutter, you can do more with it.
Has there been an example of one that you thought of might have gone too far? Or
Actually, the thing that made me think about it the most was, I've mentioned this before, I like playing games like that, especially on the hardest mode that I can, just because it makes it way more kind of like you were talking about with the Lara Croft thing. It feels more realistic somehow.
Did I mention that?
during the music break.
Yeah. Right. So it's completely derailed now. but it feels more like you have to survive this instance because you have big bladey things coming at you, and you generally shouldn't be able to survive big bladey things, in my view. But anyway, I ended up coming across a weapon that it pins little swirly things to the ground that are electric currents that act like a lawnmower blade wherever you plant it. Mm-hmm. And I got to this one part where it was literally, there would be no better weapon in all existence for this particular scenario.
For that particular universe.
Right. Well, yeah. Well, in a lot of ways, too. And it made me wish that a weapon similar to this would be in a whole slew of other games. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I couldn't imagine being able to survive without it, basically. Because mm-hmm. there were a ton of things running at me. They had to melee me. And they weren't particularly tough. So having a little lawnmower blade sitting in front of me was absolutely perfect. Mm-hmm. So that was making me wonder, like, okay, there's a lot of weapons that they had previously that maybe could have done the job, but having that little tweak where somebody came up with this idea, like, okay, well, combine this and this and this, and it should make this, that was really cool to me, that somebody thought through that process of how things would actually manipulate one thing on top of another and actually making it so a weapon was like a bunch of Lego blocks.
Mm-hmm.
So it was literally a lifesaver in a fictional way. And yeah, that's why I was thinking about this entire thing.
Okay. I guess it comes down to the quality of the game developer in terms of how well they have thought through some of this stuff, because I might be overestimating
players and developers here, but a well-developed game, a well-balanced game, should allow you to get through any situation with mostly anything you can bring to it. Not that it will be, certain ones will make it like not so much easier, but like it's the right tool for the right job. Like the one you said, you found one that was the right tool for the right job in that scenario, yeah. And that made it maybe not easy, but you weren't panicking the whole time trying to make it through. And I guess to me, like a good game will put you in a situation where no matter you can, if you're smart enough, if you're good enough with it, you can get through it. No matter what it is.
Yeah, and in a way, that's kind of what I was thinking too, is that, like, all of this customization, does it sort of muddy the water in a weird sort of way? Like, should it have just been designed in the first place so that it had that in mind, you know? Mm-hmm. Is that the better approach? Like, it creates a bunch of interesting questions as far as, where do you stop trying to please people by giving them tons of options versus giving them what you need, you know?
Right. And I guess that comes down to maybe that's a question for the developers, really, because, like,
we don't have them here.
Well, no, but, like, but think of them as a game developer, like, because, I mean, like, tabletop role-playing games for years now have been, like, well, it's a toolbox, and you build whatever you want to out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been it's been really successful at that, because it's a different pacing, it's a different style of gaming. And video games have started to come into it. They started to, more recently, I think we finally reached the point where, like, we can establish enough visual presence that making it customized is actually something people are interested in doing.
Yeah. And I think what you were touching on before, you can finally make a lot of these things and have the glowy lawnmower blade pinned to the ground. Mm-hmm. You might not have been able to do that before with previous technology. So,
mm-hmm. And as game engines and stuff evolve, that will, you know, more things like that, I think, will start happening.
I think it's really sort of up to the user, because if you can always have too much customization and just go, you know what, I don't want to deal with it, you know. Mm-hmm. And because you can always just, you know what, this is good enough, I don't need to make it absolutely perfect for what I'm looking for. I think it would be okay to go too far rather than not far enough, because then, you know, like I said, you can just, you know, okay, this is good enough, I can stop here, versus somebody else who wants to, oh man, you know what, I'm gonna spend, you know, 45 minutes on this thing because I want it to be absolutely perfect for me.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Yeah. And it is kind of cool, too, that we're finally getting to a point where you can just have a completely different experience with little items, instead of it being the old way with RPGs, where it was basically just messing with numbers a little bit to say what things could do.
Yeah, it can also provide, which is where I thought you were going with this statement, it can also change the experience of the game. You can play it through once with, you know, a certain set of, you know, weapons or armor or whatever it is that you've customized, and then play it again with maybe, you know, the stuff that you wanted isn't available. You know, like I sort of experienced that with Borderlands, where it was like, oh man, I had this gun and it was so awesome, and then the next playthrough I didn't have it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it was like, but I was so used to it and I really liked it, and it's like, oh man, now I am forced to play with this other stuff that was given to me, and it's not that it's not any less fun, it's just different, which I think is a good second playthrough experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Borderlands especially, I think, also kind of pushed some of this, because they have the, you know, the guns are randomly generated. You're kind of handed a weapon, but it's built on a similar premise to what you're describing, where it's like a pile of Lego bricks stuck together, and then it turns into this other thing.
Yeah, and that one's cool too, because it adds the little twists to a lot of the different weapons, like whether something is firing energy blasts instead of the traditional bullets and whatnot, and what types of energy and so on.
Yeah. How about you, Joe, chime in on the...
I guess this wasn't exactly where I thought this was going to be about, but yeah, I'm all for as much customization as possible. Because I kind of go with along with what Jen said, like the example of Dead Space 3, like for the longest time I just used like the plasma cutter with the planet cracker thing on it, like tip, and like I never really customized anything till much later in the game, but it was cool that that stuff was there.
Right.
So
he gave you knew he had the option of doing it, just didn't, like, no, this is working for me. I don't need to mess with it too much more.
Yeah. And I'm all for like appearance customization stuff and like everything, controller customization and everything. Like, give me as much as you can to customize. I'll take it.
Yeah. I think character customization, I think, is where, I like to see a lot of things happen, because that way, if you, even if you can't differentiate the weapons as much from each other, you can still like have your character can still be you, your personalized presence on the field, which I think is kind of cool. Which things I like about the like Mass Effect multiplayer, the more you play, the more options you get to mess around with what the character looks like, so it actually looks different than everybody else.
Yeah, as long I mean, Mass Effect did it really well, but there are some where you spend time making this character look a certain way and then you never see them. That's really disappointing. But like I said, Mass Effect was really good about that. There was a good incentive for you to spend, you know, 20 minutes making a character exactly how you wanted to, because you saw a lot of that character versus just seeing them from the back. It's like, but I spent all this time, or even like in-game money with this armor, right? And then you just see them running from behind all the time.
Right.
Yeah, I guess a lot of first-person ones where you end up really not seeing the character, like, I don't really care because other people will see him.
Yeah.
Or her.
Yeah.
So I'm totally down with, you know, like Borderlands 2. Mm-hmm. I never see my character unless I go into the computer machine thing, but I know everybody else is seeing what I put on there, and I want him or her to look cool. So. But I do see what you mean. It's like, if you think about it, you're like, wait, I'm never going to actually see this, but I don't care if I can change the left bandage on the ring finger of that character. Yes, give me that.
Yeah.
I can change both the highlight and the regular color on it. Yes.
Yes, please. Yeah, swap out heads. Alrighty.
Yeah, the only thing I would like... Actually, Mass Effect 3 is a good example of, at least in the multiplayer. Possibly it's just the game engine itself, but a lot of times it seems like in some games, they don't do a very good job with their color palette.
Yeah. You're
like, here's a blue. Oh, that looks horrible. And then you pick it and you put it in the game like, wait, that doesn't look anything like it looked in the color box.
Right.
Like,
yeah. Once you start getting all the weird lightings from
and the textures and stuff
from lightning going overhead or barrage blasts going off next to you, it completely changes the colors just because the light is a different color.
So,
but in a way, I guess kind of going more towards like what is too far in my mind, a bit of the Mass Effect 3 is in the multiplayer is kind of what I'm talking about, because like you said, that you can change the colors, and sometimes it just completely takes you out of it, because you can see guys running around that for some reason they're like covert commando type people, but they're wearing like neon pink and neon green.
Awesome. It's like,
right. I mean, it's cool that you can change that, but at what point does it take you out of the experience too, you know? I mean, it's sort of funny, like, now I'm thinking that if they would have had an extra thing kind of like the Army of Two game does, where the bright colored stuff would actually make you a bigger target for certain things, then it would have made a little bit more sense. But to me, it's just like a visual thing burrows into my head and makes me angry.
So I guess if it had to be two, like a whole bunch or not a lot, do you lean more towards having more options or?
Part of it too is it goes back to, I think I've mentioned I end up watching a lot of the things that Penny Arcade TV puts out on a show called Extra Credits. And that video blog or whatever you want to call it, it's a lot about what is a finely crafted game. And it seems like it's almost never about customization. It's always about trying to make it exactly the experience that you want. And that's where it comes... where it becomes muddy to me. It's like that experience, being able to pursue all of these little things, is really fun as a player to do, but it's ends up being a complete and total like scattershot effect for a designer. You don't know what people are really gonna like and whatnot, so there is a huge incentive just to make tons and tons of stuff, because the more you make, the more there's a chance that people will like it. But how much does that change? Like, I wonder if a designer were looking at me using the whirly lawnmower blade thing for that particular thing, would he be like, okay, it's cool that he's having fun and he picked something that he likes, but that completely ruins that right there. I mean,
this is not what I intended.
Right, exactly. Didn't I ruin an aspect of the game by having it effectively be too easy because I found this weird little combination of things? And I guess that's what makes me wonder about it, too. Like, is it becoming so insanely tough for the designers to compensate for all of this stuff? Is it going to become too difficult to make a good game in the future because there's such a push? Like, everybody wants all of this customization.
I think the saving grace for almost all of this will be the coherency of the story being told and the universe that it is being spun in. Because if your character has almost no special abilities other than the ability to jump, like in Braid, but the game itself is still very compelling. The story that's being told is still is still really interesting.
Okay.
Or even the Mario games, like most of the time, your main ability is to jump on things. So it's like
But the story, it just keeps you coming back.
But the game is still fun. It doesn't wreck the game. It doesn't change. It doesn't. In getting a fire flower, which makes it arguably easier, doesn't change the fact that the game is still going the way the designers intended it to go.
Yeah, and usually you feel like you earned said fire flower too by doing whatever feat of strength or whatnot.
and if it's a customization thing, you spent the time to customize it, to make it the way it is, to make it look the way it is, and that, I think, is also, you know, the reward for doing that. Like, your reward for spending this time and finding all these pieces and being creative enough to come up with this combination makes this particular scene a little bit easier for you. And when you tell your friends about it, they'll be like, "What? You can do that? Oh my gosh." And it also, you know, makes each person's game more unique as well.
Well, it's a very interesting question. I would definitely like to propose it to any developers out there. If you know of any, ask them and let us know. Yeah.
Or have them contact us and tell us what they think.
Yeah. I wish we had more time to delve in it, but we need to wrap it up. But definitely let us know what you think out there. And Caleb, why don't you tell them how they can do that?
That's right. Well, if you want to interact with us like our friend Kevin did earlier,
please do.
Yes, please do, first of all. And you can find us on Facebook. Do a search for Robots Attack, two words. Or you can find us on Twitter. Our handle is Robots Attack Me, all one word. And then you can find us always on our Facebook, our own personal page, robotsattack.me. You can find archive episodes of our show there, along with links to the aforementioned social networks and to our email account, robotsattackshow@gmail.com.
That's right. You've been listening to Robots Attack on KSCU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, the underground sound, the one and only geek-centric talk show. We're here every Thursday from 7-ish to 9-ish. And we will not be here next week, though. It's shorter hours for the building, so we're having a week off. But as far as I know, we should be back then the following week, same time. We'll let you know. Definitely keep an eye on all the things that Caleb just mentioned.
Yes.
And yeah, hopefully you had a good time. And also, we do another podcast from time to time. Caleb hosts it.
Mm-hmm.
It's Around the Water Cooler. Yes. So, you know, keep an eye on our normal page and
robotsattack.me for that.
For that. And definitely email us questions. I'd love to add a viewer mail segment to the show or mm-hmm. even to add on to that podcast or whatever. So,
mm-hmm.
but yeah. Alrighty. Well, gentlemen and lady.
Yes.
Let's get out of here.
Sounds good.
Have a good night.
Have a good one.
Laters.
Later.
Bye.
Raccoon. Veronica. Misto.